Hi, I'm Michael Cox, and you're listening to Michael's Office, a podcast which hosts my genuine, unfiltered, and unscripted thoughts about things going on in the entertainment world today. This week, I'll be talking about a lot of movie news, including the Joker becoming the highest grossing R-rated film of all time, and The Invisible Man dropped a trailer, and some reviews of some plays that I saw in a movie that I saw this week. So please, step in my office and enjoy. Alright, I hope you guys like that bit of a train wreck introduction. This week has been an interesting week. It has been a very interesting week. I'm going to go with some old news slash kind of new news. The fact that Joker is going to become the highest grossing R-rated film of all time. Well, it is right now, but it's going to become even farther added to that achievement, becoming the highest grossing R-rated film of all time, to becoming the first ever R-rated film to reach $1 billion at the box office. So that's worldwide. And that's not including China yet. I don't know if it is going to be distributed to China. Let me check right now. I don't believe it will be, or will it be released? So, it's not been approved yet to be released in China. I don't know why. I think I know why. Because of what's going on in Hong Kong right now. But I'm so happy for what used to be my top film of the year is currently being the highest grossing film of all time. Not the highest grossing film of all time. Highest grossing R-rated film of all time. And highest grossing first R-rated film to reach $1 billion. That's a pretty impressive feat, I'm not gonna lie. I think the reason why this film is getting such love and why it's getting so much money and generating so much revenue, it's because of the American media that kind of spread, and people think, oh, is it that bad? And people also love the Joker character, and they've wanted to see a movie about this character for quite some time. The Joker is a worldwide phenomenon. People know who the Joker is. There are literally rides about the character, and there are so many movies involving the character, and people just love the character. I know that's like redundant by me saying that, all that stuff. Like, they love the character, basically constantly saying they love the character, they love the character. But it's true, people love the Joker, and the hype that the film got with Joaquin's performance, people are going to want to see that. And also, it helps by it winning the Golden Lion at the Venice Film Festival, a place where really good films do win, and they get worldwide renown. So I think it does help that it won at the Venice Film Festival. I wonder what happened at Cannes. What Joker got to Cannes. Maybe that is another thing. It probably helped it too, since it won at Cannes. Where? 2017. There we go. Just looking at stuff. Parasite 1. Oh. Did... Was Joker not submitted at the Cannes Film Festival? Okay. It wasn't. Okay, it wasn't submitted at the Cannes Film Festival. But another thing that I think people were enticed to it is people do want to see an origin story. I think people are enticed to seeing how the Joker became the Joker. And people are probably wanting to show their friends and want to discuss it with their friends. And that's why it's being talked about. And that's why it's being shown. And that's why people want to see it. I think that's the reason why it's became the highest grossing film, R-rated film, of all time. And why it's reached $1 billion. There are probably more reasons, like rebellion against the American media or like their parents or something, people's parents. I don't know. Just there could be a bunch of reasons why as it's becoming highest grossing. But I do believe it's because people love the character so much. And if Warner Brothers is smart, they're probably going to try to figure out, okay, we're just going to have to do small things just by themselves. And then they'll definitely have a great formula for movies here. Now onto the next topic. Invisible Man dropped their trailer. Oh, you know what? Let's go back to Joker getting the number one thing. It's going to be the first release film since The Dark Knight to make it to $1 billion without being released in China. So, yeah, that's a fun fact for you. Anyway, next thing is The Invisible Man dropped its trailer. And, well, I like it. I like the idea. I would have preferred if they went the original book route, because the original book's great. I love the original book. I just wish they did another version of the book. Granted, people would probably be upset, like, ugh. Hollywood is into remaking things. Why can't they do something original? Well, they are kind of doing something original with the storytelling. With the story, it's just not in the way people want it. I think that's why it's kind of receiving some backlash right now. Because in the trailer, it seems like people are saying... this gave away the whole movie, and it looks like it did, but the director said the trailer is misleading. He could be doing one of two things. He could be telling the truth, like, yeah, it's misleading. Or he could just be saying, he's just trying to do damage control and say, oh, no, this is misleading, even though that might be the whole entire film. I do like the direction it's going, where they're still keeping him evil. Like he's supposed to be. He's an awful person. Because in the original book, the Invisible Man wants to take over the world. Well, in this version, the Invisible Man is an abusive ex-boyfriend. Let me read the official synopsis. What? No. When Cecilia, the main character, is abusive, when Cecilia's abusive ex takes his own life and leaves her fortune, he suspects his death was a hoax. As a series of coincidences turn lethal, Cecilia's works to prove that she's being haunted by somebody nobody can see. Well, wow, that's kind of, now that I read it, it's kind of lame. But it's got Elizabeth Moss in it, who is the lead in The Handmaid's Tale. So she's got some acting chops. She's won an Emmy for her performances, so I don't doubt that she is going to do well in the role. And I do like that they're taking it this direction. I'm fine with it. Would I have preferred if they went like the original novel direction? Heck yeah, brother. I would have preferred if they went that way. I would have much preferred that. I think a lot of people would have much preferred the film to go the original novel direction. But yeah, it definitely intrigues me, and it does make sense that that people see her as being crazy. You know what she could do? She could just record her being attacked, being abused by her ex if she is attacking the invisible man. Like the boyfriend is attacking her. She could just record it and then boom! She ain't crazy. But they're gonna have to find him. And then, yeah. That'll suck. Yeah, so that is The Invisible Man. I do think it's interesting. I might have to check it out when it comes out in theaters. Yeah, hopefully I'll be able to see it. I don't know. Maybe my weekend will be busy or something. I don't know. But it does look interesting. It looks very interesting to me. Next, Nick, are some positive news, something I didn't expect. Marvel is actually pushing Robert Downey Jr. or campaigning for Robert Downey Jr. to be or get nominated for his performance in Endgame. I preferred if they did this for Civil War, but you know, they're going to nominate him for Endgame. That is a nice little positive thing. After, when I first watched Endgame, I haven't watched it since then, I should. But ever since I first, I'm like, I definitely agree. He should be nominated. Now that I look back at all the performances, according to my thing, yeah, he should. He should be nominated. According to my list, anyway, he should, but I know there are better performances than his. This year has just been really great for film. It's been a really great year for film, and I'm so glad that I got to live in a generation where I got to live basically throughout this year to see all these films and to talk. It's really going to be unfair for whoever doesn't get nominated. Whoever gets snubbed, it's going to be unfair. And it's just going to be unfair. It's just a really hard year because film has been so good this year. This movie's been, when movies have been good, they've been really, really good. And Yeah, but back to Robert Downey Jr. Would I say he deserves it? Yeah, I guess. But there's so many other actors who deserve to be nominated this year. Like, from what I heard, Robert De Niro deserves to be nominated for his performance in The Irishman, and Adam Driver deserves to be nominated for his performance for Marriage Story, and so does Adam Sandler deserves to be nominated for Uncut Gems, and it's going to be unfair. And the main guy in Jojo Rabbit, Jojo, the person who plays Jojo, should be nominated. Just there's some, and Eddie Murphy in Dolomite. I'm going to be talking about Dolomite later. Don't you worry. So many actors deserve to be nominated for everything. And it's just going to be a really hard year. And whoever gets snubbed, yeah, it's going to suck. Because they also deserved it. There's so many awesome actors going right now, and so many awesome films that are out right now, so many awesome performances. It's going to really suck. But they could also go the route of what Lord of the Rings did. I said this before for my argument for Avengers Endgame possibly getting nominated, is that they could do the Lord of the Rings now route where they – I'm pretty sure he was not – was Aragorn – the person who played Aragorn nominated – let me check if Lord of the Rings. Return of the King. Come on. And go to Oscars. Accolades. Okay, it was not nominated. None of the actors were nominated in the film for Best Actor. Who was, though? Hey, go back. Oh! Okay, so Sean Penn, Johnny Depp, really, for the Pirates of the Caribbean, Ben Kingsley, Sin Frog, Jude Law, Cold Mountain, and Bill Murray, and Lost in Translation. That, I understand. Yeah, that's surprising. That's real surprising. Okay. Yeah, they could do that. They could argue that he's been playing the role for so long that he is defying the character. He is... Wow. Wow. Okay, just reading the article. Robert Downey didn't want to win the award, but he, according to Disney, he's been submitted along with Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth, Mark Ruffalo, and Josh Brolin as Thanos. Okay, well, that's surprising. Will he win if he does get nominated? No, he's not going to win. People would like him to, but he's not going to win. He's just not. He's just not going to win. It'd be a surprise if he does, but I don't think he should win compared to the performances this year, I don't think he should win. Robert Pattinson deserves, for The Lighthouse, he deserves to win more than RDJ does. I know that's probably, you're going to like probably crucify me, but I just prefer that performance over Robert Downey Jr.'s performance in it. Okay, I just thought popped up in my head. The question is, did I see Robert Downey Jr. or did I see Iron Man? And I saw Tony Stark. I just saw Tony Stark on the screen. Maybe it's just because I'm so used to Tony Stark, the character of Tony Stark, that I just don't think he should win. Maybe he should. Maybe he should. I just don't think he's going to win. Knowing the Oscars, he's not going to win. All right. After that, we're going to move on to some reviews. Dolomite Is My Name is a movie I just finished watching. So it could be on a film high as of right now. But I thoroughly enjoyed the film. I really, really enjoyed watching that film. It was funny. I was really, really getting into the whole thing by the end. Really, like, I think the hour and a half mark, I think I was really getting into the film. I was really drawn into Eddie Murphy's character, Rudy Ray Moore, his story. I was so invested in that. I was so invested in his journey, and it was definitely a big underdog story. It wasn't just him against the man, against the white man. It was just him against the world. He was not a successful act at first. He couldn't find his footing. And then he did, with the character named Dolomite. And it was just an uphill climb from there. And it was a hard uphill climb for him, but he eventually got to where he wanted to be. And it was, again, such a fun journey to be a part of. Eddie Murphy is back, and I loved watching him on the screen. You could tell he was having fun with the character, and you would have fun along with him, and he was having a good time, and we were, and the audience members, we were having a good time. I do believe this money, is it deserved to be on Netflix? Probably, but I wouldn't mind to go see this in theaters. I mean, I'm glad that it's on Netflix so I don't have to pay a dime. But still, I am so glad that I saw this. It was such a wonderful, pleasant surprise of a movie. I had been hearing great things about Eddie Murphy's performance, and I'm going back to it. Yeah, he does live up to the hype. His presence is magnetic. His energy is palpable. He's loud. He's vulgar. The film is just like the titular character, Dolomite. It's loud, it's vulgar, it's crude, it's graphic, and it's nudity. I wasn't a fan of that, but but it was such a joy to watch. It was heartwarming, and going, like, you can tell that he was Rudy/Dolomite was doing this for himself, but he was doing it for other people. You can tell he was a good person. And he wasn't just this lying con man who's trying to get where he wants. You can tell he's actually a decent person. And you can tell he's just trying to make it, but he also wants to be successful along with his friends. He likes helping his friends. And when Eddie Murphy's character, Rudy, takes a loss, you feel it. You feel for him, and you feel sad that he's not getting there, and they're not getting what they want. And they're not, it's just the, like, when they're trying to make a movie in the film, it's, they're not really getting anywhere. They meet, they have one hurdle after another. They have to climb over it. I was finding the words. I'm so sorry. And it's just, again, the journey to where they get at the end is so, it's so rewarding and it's so worth it. And it's just, wow, it was fantastic. I really enjoyed this movie. It's definitely in my top 10. Granted, I've only seen like 19 films this year. Let me check if it's 19. I'm pretty sure it's 19. But it is in my top 10. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's in my top 10. Right? Yeah, I've only seen 19 films. And I'm going to see a double feature this Friday, on my birthday. Ah! But, yeah, as I said before, I really enjoyed it. I really loved Eddie Murphy's performance. Will he get nominated again with Robert Downey Jr.? This is a really tough year. It's a really tough year, and it's so unfair when I'm looking at all these prediction videos and like, yeah, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. But I don't – will he get nominated? Probably not. I hope he does. I really hope he does. There's so many great performances this year. But a person that should be nominated, and I will be really, really angry if she doesn't get nominated. What's her name? Ah, man. Probably just going to be images. Yep, there we go. Cast. Divine Joy Randolph was fantastic in this movie. She was utterly fantastic. Oh, she was great. And man, she was definitely a breakout star in this film, and I want to see more of her. I can't wait to see more of her in Okay, sorry, I've been reading about her. Yeah, she was fantastic. I really enjoyed Everett. She was the heart of the film, along with Eddie Murphy providing some heart to the film. I liked every scene with her. She was just fantastic. Oh, and the costumes. The costumes should get a nomination, too. Oh, they were so good. The costumes were bright and colorful and brilliant and showed off the time in the culture. I love them. I love them so much. Such a great film. If you guys have Netflix, I suggest you guys go and listen to it. It is, not listen to it, watch it. You will not regret it. I will warn you though, it's very vulgar. It's got some graphic nudity in it. So skip some of those scenes. And yeah. Jokes are crude too. Yeah, so that was Dolomite My Name. Next one is a play I went to see this weekend at Kirkwood, the Kirkwood Theater Guild. I saw Games Afoot. This was a funny play. It was very funny. I didn't ever find myself bored. Since it was... So Games Afoot is basically this actor, this real-life actor, William Gillette, who played Sherlock Holmes tons of times on Broadway, invites his cast members from his most recent play to a party. And then during this party, somebody gets actually murdered. And then William Gillette channels his inner Sherlock Holmes and tries to solve the mystery. And hilarity ensues. It's not like... It's not like the play that goes wrong, where it's constantly funny and there are jokes constantly thrown at you. And it's not like there are serious moments there, too. It's just... There can be, like near the end when the murderer is revealed. That's a serious moment. But, like, the jokes, like, there's this one character, I forget his name, he plays Moriarty in the Sherlock Holmes thing. He's the one that's kind of throwing jokes out. William Gillette's mom, Martha Gillette, is funny too. She's got some great funny lines. There's also some great physical humor in there when they're trying to hide the body. One funny thing is right after Act 2 begins, the murderer, or what you think, yeah, the murderer is revealed, and then isn't revealed, and it's think to be something else, and then that same murderer, it turns out to be that murderer, and that was a funny thing, the way she explains it, like, oh, I thought you were doing this, and he's like, oh, no, I wasn't doing that. They didn't have any mics, which was surprising. I was looking for mics, but they didn't have any mics. They weren't mic'd. They were all projected, which is becoming a lost art. Because people are starting to be really dependent on mics. But I think the reason they don't have a mic is because mics are expensive. They cost like $1,000, I think. I think they cost like $1,000. They're fairly, fairly expensive. Or maybe like $100 or something. But yeah, they are expensive. So, impressive. That's impressive. The set was great too. I really like the set. I like the costumes. When the actors were doing the play, the Sherlock play, they were all aware. They were all like over the top, and you could tell they weren't great actors. But, and I do like one of the characters. Her name is Darcy, or whatever her name. Daria. She was a B word. She was just a total B. Spoilers, but she gets murdered, so there is that. Kind of makes sense. It is a murder mystery. So she does die. Yeah. All of them were good. Overall, all of them were good. They did a lot of basic acting stuff. I shouldn't be judging. I really shouldn't. And I shouldn't be criticizing. But they did a lot of, maybe I just didn't notice it, but it looked like they were doing a lot of just somebody would say a line, they would have no emotion, then they would have emotion. They probably weren't. It's just the things that I noticed. I was trying to look for it and I couldn't find it, but it did feel a lot like that. It did feel like they were just listening and then, oh, time to emote now, and they would just react right away. Granted, that's how people react, but I prefer it when people are, looks like they're thinking. It looks like they're thinking, and Aubrey looks like they're thinking, and not just reacting. I'd prefer it if they wouldn't do that. But it was fine. Some people, I noticed that they had vocal patterns, and one actress, the person I came to see, I noticed some of her acting patterns that she has. And she was fine. I enjoyed watching her. I enjoyed watching everybody. But when it turns out, like, she's not who she is, who supposedly she is, she was doing her thing she was doing as Roxy. Yeah, you can have similar things with characters, but I wouldn't say you want to deliver the lines the exact same way as you would with different characters, because these two characters are very, very different. The two characters are very, very different. Granted, maybe they are the same. Maybe they are the same. Maybe that's why she did it. But yeah, the mother, the way her vocal pattern was weird. The way she said things were weird. Just her vocal, the way she said her lines were weird. She just had a very weird vocal pattern. These are all really nitpicky things. But they kind of affect the performance in a way. The way they deliver their lines were fine. It just doesn't help that they have some weird vocal patterns. And I loved the guy who played William Gillette. I love him. I love him. He was great. But he did have, when he delivered his lines, he sounded very Shakespearean. And he didn't need to be Shakespearean. When he said Shakespearean lines, he needed to be Shakespearean. But he just had weird pauses. And his, I don't want to say inflections. I don't know what really inflections are. People throw it out. I'm like, yeah, look, you got great inflection. I'm like, thanks. I don't know what that is. But their inflection, his inflection, or his, not inflection, his just, his pauses were weird. He didn't need to have Shakespearean pauses. Or, like, maybe it's not Shakespearean. Because Shakespearean, you can turn it into normal. You can make it sound normal. But when you think a Shakespearean actor, that's what you think. And that's not a good thing. Granted, he's also trying to play to the people in the back row and he's projecting. But, yeah, it wasn't needed. This play was still funny nonetheless, and I enjoyed everybody's performances. It's just, it just, some things just threw me off a little bit to fully enjoy it. If you guys can tell by my reviewing, is very, when it comes to plays, it's fairly hard to please me. If something throws me off, like an actor doing something weird, or just you guys messing me up, or just me not being a fan of certain things, just the way actors are, I will generally, it is very hard to get a standing ovation out of me for a play or a musical. It is very hard to get a standing ovation out of me. Because it all depends on what you do in the beginning. Or right after the beginning. Or if something throws me off and I don't like, if I just don't like what the thing's doing, you're not going to get a standing ovation out of me. It's that I reserve my standing ovations for shows that deserve it. But that doesn't mean I didn't enjoy this show. I think I gave a standing ovation. I've given a standing ovation to a show that I didn't like. The worst show I've ever seen, I gave a standing ovation to, because everybody was doing it. Because we were appreciating the effort that these high school, we were in high school at the time, we had to appreciate our fellow high school thespians. But they did not deserve that standing ovation whatsoever. Anyway, the next play I went to go see this weekend is Radium Girls at Park Hill Central. This was just okay. This was really just okay. It should not be done by high schoolers. I don't care how good they are. This should not be done by high schoolers. This play should not be done by high schoolers. I don't think even some colleges should do it. Jeffco shouldn't. Not even Jeffco. I love them. They're all fantastic actors. Jeffco shouldn't even do this. This is a hard, hard play. The set was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. The costumes were better than I thought they were going to be. The makeup was expected. That's high school quality for you. Sometimes the acting was kind of better than I thought it was going to be. But, again, this is a hard, hard play. And good on Park Hill Central for trying to put this on. But I don't think high schoolers, I don't care how good you think they are, unless you have, and this is for only colleges and professional thing, unless you have full confidence in all of your potential casts. Don't cast people because, oh, they don't have a central part in the story. They're not good. Just we're going to put them in a minor role. Do not do that. That will not do this story justice and bring the weight that I think the dramatic weight you need for this type of story. I'm not a big fan of, I literally watched this for the first time. And a high school cannot do this play. I don't care how much you love it as a director, you cannot give this to high schoolers. Because they will not do it justice. I don't care how confident you are. Let's say that you think this is the best cast I will ever have. You will probably get a better cast. But I'm just saying, not even, like, I know this sounds egotistical, but not even Hillsborough could have done this right. We'd have loved working on it. We would have loved working on it. We couldn't have done this right. Even when we were at our peak when it comes to acting. Which was senior year. Not if we had Ashton, Sammy, or if we did this our junior year, then we would have everybody. If we were doing this our junior year and we had Jake Johnson and Zach Pratt, Or let's say we were bringing everybody back from all my 4 years. It wouldn't have mattered if we had Mason Ramsey, Emily Stansberry, Jilly, Brianna, my sister. It doesn't matter who we brought back for this. We wouldn't have done it justice. I don't think anybody from FESCON could have done it justice. I don't care if you're the best high school in the state. I don't think even the best high school in the state. High schools cannot do this show. And Park Hills was definitely an example of that. There are a lot of actors who are in this show. I can't say. I know when you're on stage, can't say they're no bad actors. Unless they're robotic. But it was a little legitimate thing of, come on, act, please. Like, it felt like they were all so afraid. They all had stage fright. They were scared. A lot of them seemed like they were scared. Or they didn't care. Even though I've seen them at competitive speech. Like a couple of them when I was in competitive speech and debate. I saw them at competitive speech and debate. It seems like they don't care enough. Or they're not well directed enough. Yeah, it's a lot of just, come on. Act, please. And does the people who are on the bigger roles, they were the best actors. They were fine. The main girl, she was great. She was good. She was good. Along with the main villain. His ending monologue was great. Or was good. No, it was great. It was great. It was a great ending monologue. But It just was a huge disappointment. I was getting invested at certain parts, and then I was getting out invested because people weren't acting. I don't say there are no bad. In my opinion, there are no bad actors unless they're robotic. Man, it was real close to that. It was really close to that. One guy, he was not good. He was delivering the same line the same way. Every time he had a vocal pattern, and it was so obvious, and I was not a fan of it. I was bored. It was boring at times. When this is such a dramatic story, and I felt there were some jokes that were like supposed to land that didn't. There were some funny jokes. I could feel like there were funny jokes in there, but they didn't land. There was one obvious funny joke. That's it. I know I'm ragging on this show, but my main criticism of it is that high schools cannot do this show. You cannot give this to a high schooler. To high schoolers, and they will do it justice. I don't feel like they will. The positives from this show, as I said before, the main girl was good. The main villain was good. The main group of villains were good. The company, like the CEO and the lawyers and stuff, they were good. They were good. They were surprising. Another thing. Learn your lines, please. I know that's calling the kettle black for my thing, for my performance in Euripides, where there was one line that I wouldn't know. Nobody would notice. Except the people on stage. And also, sometimes I would interrupt people. Yeah, that also happened at a Games Afoot. But still, learn your lines. There are multiple times where I felt like somebody, they were forgetting their lines. I'm like, oh no, I felt so bad. And you could tell in her face. Yeah, the whole just to describe Park Hill Central's production of Radium Girls, it was okay. I finally got to see what a high school play looked like. Because when I think high school play, that comes close to mind. But high school play, the definition of high school play was the Pippin at Thescon. Ew. Yeah, it was disgusting. But Radium Girls was really, really, really average. It was painfully average. But that's not a fault. It's a little bit of fault to the cast. A little bit of fault to the director. Mostly a fault to the director, because you can't give this show to high school kids. You cannot. And you can't even give it to some colleges. I don't even know. I love MoBAP so much. But I don't even think we could do it. I don't know if we could do it justice. It deserves to be done by professionals. And I don't know if we could do it at MoBAP. Maybe CMO could do it. Maybe Truman. Maybe we could do it at MoBAP. I don't know, but not even some colleges. As I said before, not even you shouldn't give it to high schoolers. And some colleges shouldn't even do it. So, yeah. Finally, I'm going to close up with something more happy than what was going on. Music Man. We are 2 weekends away from Music Man. Possibly even one. No, just two. Two. 2 weekends away from Music Man. It is November 21st through the 24th. I think we finished the set. We're very close to getting the set done. Things are coming along well. First day off book, and yeah, it's pretty decent. We're gonna get it. We're gonna get it in 2 weeks. We're gonna get it in 2 weeks. This is gonna be a great show. It's gonna be so charming. I really hope you guys come out to see it. It is 2 weekends from now. It is right now. I believe it's $13. $13 if you pre-order online now. It is, I think, $7 or $5 for students at MoBAP, and like $7 for students in general. The times are 7 o'clock from the 21st through the 23rd, and then the 24th matinee is at 2:30. Hope to see you guys there. See you next week. And you can step out of my office. Thank you so much for listening. Good night.